Blog Talk Radio.
Seen them on our nation's freeway. It seems like they're everywhere. And I'm referring to the trucks and those dedicated men and women who are literally the backbone of our society. On tonight's show, we'll be looking at some of the issues that these drivers face on a daily basis and what it's like to be on the open road. You can join our conversation by dialing our listener line at 646-721-9887 or join us in our chat room at www.blogtalkradio.com/KRBN. You're listening to Trucker Talk on KRBN Internet News Talk Radio.
There's so many ridiculous, what I think, rules in the logbooks. Like, technically, correct me if I'm wrong, this is truck-related. Should we not be logging this on duty, not talking?
And that is an expert or excerpt from the FMCSA listener session that they had, one of five, I believe. This was last week. Good afternoon. This is Trucker Talk on KRBN Internet Radio. My name is Robin, and with us tonight we have my co-host Cliff and our special guest Crazy Man. How are you doing tonight, people?
I am fantastic. How are you?
I'm doing pretty
good. Doing great.
You?
You know, I heard in the opening of your program there that they're everywhere. They're everywhere. Boy, I'll agree with that. Man, they're just everywhere. There's too many trucks on the road.
Well, of course, without the trucks, nothing moves. Quick little background. Crazy Man, he's an experienced over-the-road driver. How many years?
About 20 years now.
About 20 years.
14 to 20. I don't remember anymore.
14 to 20. I've got about 6 months over the road and about another year as a company driver driving oil fields. And Cliff is a non-driver.
Well, and totally a non-driver at the moment, but basically a non-truck driver. But I'm old, so, and my eyes have gone, and so I actually don't drive at all. But it doesn't mean I can't go out there with someone else driving and complain.
There you go. We need one more complaint.
Yeah, one more complaint. Well, anyway, it's a lot of issues to talk about in the hour that we've got, and one of the issues that I was bringing up on the opening of the show was the hours of service, and that was one of the things FMCSA, they need a shorter acronym, the hours of service and what changes there should be. And part of it, the most common was the complaint was the flexibility in the 14-hour rule. Roger, you want to go ahead and comment on that, or do you want to summarize what the rules are?
Summarizing, simple, easy. Once you get up off of your 10-hour break, you have 14 hours to do 11 hours of driving. So that means if you're stuck at a dock, you're stuck there. And if your 14 hours runs out, you're screwed. You have 11 hours to drive for your whole day and 14 hours to do it. No time for real naps, real times for stopping for food. It's total stupidity. We need to get back to our basically where we can stop and take a two-hour nap or take an hour nap, like the old rules. Like some of the old rules, but I like some of the new rules with 34-hour restart. That is just the ultimate rule that they put in there.
14 hours of driving, that doesn't mean actual truck moving behind the wheel driving, then, is that right?
That is correct. You, once you get up, let's say I start at 4 o'clock in the morning. I now have till 7 o'clock tonight to finish my 14-hour day. So that means if I got to put fuel on the truck, I do so. If I have to be, let's say, stop and deliver a load in the dock, and it takes 3 hours, I have till 7 o'clock tonight to finish the day.
So, but does that mean you could drive for 14 hours?
No, that does not. You only have 11 hours to drive. So let's say I pick up a.
You can drive solid for 11 hours.
Yes.
You can drive for 11 straight solid hours.
Without ever getting out of the truck?
Without ever getting out of the truck.
That's crazy. No wonder we've got drivers weaving down the road, for God's sakes. This is one of my bigger complaints.
We'll be grabbing stuff off the dashboard, or we'll, you know, when I get up in the morning at 4 o'clock, I'll go, okay, I want my, say, crackers and cheese. I'll have my sodas laying on the passenger seat. I'll have a burrito warming on the defroster because I've got to drive.
And they tell us in driver's training for driving automobiles that eating and drinking and doing those things in the car is dangerous. Why isn't it dangerous for truckers?
I have not a clue. But we've got to drive 11 hours to, say, pick your toilet paper up in X and drop it in Z. So that could be a total of 600 miles today I had to drive to make on-time delivery for 4 o'clock tomorrow morning to get your fucking paper.
And they calculate the, they use a formula of 50 miles per hour distance. And so they try to squeeze that into, 10 hours would be 500 miles.
Mm-hmm. So basically 500 to 550 a day, sometimes 600 miles, depending on what state you're in.
No, wait a minute. Why does it depend on what state you're in?
Because, like, Oregon and Washington are 55, Arizona, Nevada, Utah, Idaho are 65 to 75 miles an hour. So the trucks go a little faster, so your average goes up.
No wonder everybody speeds.
Mm-hmm. Why do truck drivers speed? So we can hurry up, get the load down to the next truck stop so I can, say, grab an extra half hour to run in to grab food, half hour to go grab a shower, because it may be 3 days before I get a shower, 4 days, depending on how the loads go.
Do they have any electronic thing on your truck to let everybody know when the truck is actually moving and when it's not?
Yeah, they're called a Qualicom, and they will tell you exactly when that truck has started moving to the point of every stop, start, every light you've gone through. It'll tell you the movement of the truck. It'll tell you how fast the truck is averaged all day long. It'll tell them how fast the truck's going at any given time.
Well, see, I think, and everybody's going to be really upset now because I think there should be even more complicated laws. But there should be laws to say the truck can, and you shouldn't be considered driving unless the truck is moving, because unless the truck is moving, you're not driving. And so, you know, I don't care what you're doing to the truck or on the truck or in the truck, but it is, if it isn't moving, you're not driving it.
But you're on duty, so you're putting fuel in the truck, changing a tire, changing a light bulb or whatever. Anything to do with that truck either is drive time or on-duty time.
But I see a huge difference, because that's one of the things that I do. If I'm taking a trip, I want to get out of the vehicle and run around and, you know, maybe wash it or put a gas in it or do something that wakes me up and gets me ready to go to drive again. And I don't think 11 hours without getting out, or 11 hours, even if you don't do that, if it's allowed, that's wrong.
Yeah, it's wrong, but the companies want that. They don't care. All they're looking for is a heartbeat, the whole dash steering wheel with a CDL. They don't care.
Hmm.
That's why the government's trying to step in to make all these new rules.
Sounds like the government rules are worse than the trucking company, though.
Well, the trucking company's worse than the government because they know that they have 11 hours to drive that truck, and that's what the companies want. They want you to physically drive 11 hours a day if you can. They don't care. They really don't care. The last issue that I had with the company I'm working for, I got up that morning, drove 6 hours, and now I was physically, mentally told that after driving 6 hours, that I needed to shut down and go to bed. And I got into an argument with my manager that I drive for.
Yeah.
And I was like, I would like to get the heater fixed in my truck, which is called a bunk heater. And I wanted to go over to the grocery store and put more groceries on the truck. And she goes, no, you will do as I say. You will go to bed. And I'm like, I can't go to bed after getting up off a 10-hour break, drive 6 hours. You can't do it. Then I was told to, after that 10-hour break, get up at 11 o'clock at night and start driving again. I was so exhausted that day. It was crazy.
Well, I don't understand. If the trucking company, let's say you're leaving from point A to go to point B and you have, you know, 11 hours to get there, why do they care what you do in the meantime as long as you get it there?
They like to control. Some of the companies do. They don't care. If there's no heat in that truck, there's no food in that truck, they don't care. They just want their freight moved from here to there.
Well, see, I can understand them wanting their freight from here to there, but then they should just let you do it however it takes to do it. I can understand the government saying that you have to have a break every X amount. That I could go with because I get upset. I see truckers, and then not just a couple here and there, but I see a lot of truckers that I think are falling asleep. I used to think, well, they're drunk, but I don't necessarily think they're drunk anymore. But they are probably falling asleep at the wheel, or they're hypnotized by the road or something because they're just all over the place. Now I'm finding out why. I mean, this is just crazy.
Yeah. I mean, in a 7-day work week, I will work right up to 70 hours a week, and then after the 7th day, expect to do it again. I do this 7 days a week, sometimes 14 days straight without a day off.
Yeah, that's crazy. That's worse than a doctor.
Yeah.
Well, and that's the point. Is how many other jobs do you know that actually have these type of hours besides the, like Crazy Man was just saying, where you're working 14 straight, but you're all over the clock.
Yeah.
Yeah. You have no normal sleep time. Today I'll get up at 5 o'clock. Tomorrow I'll get up at 2 o'clock in the afternoon after driving for 10 hours, 11 hours.
Yeah, that's ridiculous. That's just totally ridiculous. Of course, see, I'm afraid I'm one of these people. I think we need to get a lot of these trucks off the road. I think long-haul trucks need to be eliminated, period, and they should be put on a train. And then every trucker is just a short haul from the trains to wherever they're going. That way you eliminate these huge long runs, and you also eliminate, you do so many things. You know, we could take the trucks off the road. That would eliminate the breaking down of the highways. It would eliminate the accidents. We need to get our railroads working. I mean, there's no reason to have trucks going everywhere when the railroad is there.
Yeah, but see here, Cliff, here's the other problem with that. You got a good idea, but you know what? Is there a railroad that actually drops off where you live?
Well, but there's one with, you know, that's a lot closer than 600 miles that you drive in a day. I mean,
yeah. Well, see, here's the crazy thing. Honestly, okay, you live in the Northwest just like I do. Do you know where your toilet paper comes from?
Well, it can come from China for all I care, but it doesn't need to come on a truck all the way.
What's funny is our toilet paper in the Northwest comes from Chino, California.
Right. So let's
stick
it on a truck. I mean, on a train in Chino, California, and send it up to Eugene, and then from Eugene it can be trucked to, well, it isn't trucked to my house, but to the grocery store nearest me.
Right, but see, here's the thing. Once it's, okay, to go from Chino, California, okay, which would have to go to BNSF in L.A., from there, it takes 4.5 to 5 days to go from Chino, California to Portland, Oregon, when they could stick it on the truck in Chino and have it to Eugene, Oregon in 1.5 days.
Well, see, that's just a matter of somebody adjusting their schedule. I mean, I'm sure that they can adjust things to be able to get the stuff up here in enough quantities each time to you know, so that I don't run out just because the truck didn't get here on time.
Well, if I can interject too, the scenario, using that scenario, to go from the shipper to, say, the distributor, is less manpower. So in other words, once the truck's loaded, you know, it goes from the shipper to the receiver, and then from there to whatever LTL service that they're using to get to the stores. Where to send it on a train, it'll still have to go from the shipper to a truck to the train yard, where they'd have to either unload it or use the intermodal, load it on a flatbed on a train, take it to, like, Portland, like Crazy Man was saying, unload it, put it on a truck again, take it to a distributor, then goes LTL. So you have a lot more expense, a lot more hands-on, versus just throwing it on the back truck and paying somebody 30 cents a mile.
Right. So, Cliff, what I'm trying to get at is, let's say that 4-pack of toilet paper costs you 86 cents, correct? We'll just ballpark it.
Right.
All right. And now that it's gone from one hand, two hands, three hands, four hands, and then now we've got basically, we'll say, six hands by the time it gets back down there. Do you know what that roll of toilet paper, four of them, will cost you now?
I have no idea. What you?
About $3.50.
Yeah, I understand what you're saying in that it's going to change things, but I do honestly believe that the system can be changed and worked around so that it wouldn't actually be that big a change. There are ways it can be handled. I mean, a lot of automated systems, and we need to hire people to do things. We're needing to get jobs out there. So, you know, until it's worked out, maybe this is something that the government needs to subsidize. I'm sure that the system can work.
See, here's the thing. Talking about jobs, you just committed suicide when you signed your life away with a Class A CDL. You've committed the biggest suicide in your life, period.
Okay,
because I've seen bankers, I've seen CPAs and all that fancy crap with big letters that I don't even understand. Simple and easy. These guys have come into our business and went, yep, I'm going to be a truck driver because these jobs have been outsourced. Guess what? You just committed suicide to your job. Because once they look at your application resume, they don't care. They see truck driver, goes right in the garbage. Right in the garbage.
Well, we're addressing another problem now. I mean, that's I think totally different. And I understand what you're saying, you know, but that's a class system. I don't think that's a mechanical system. I mean, that can be changed. However, you're right. It's not an easy change. It's not something you can make a law to do anything about, because people's opinions and people's attitudes are probably the hardest thing there is to change.
Yeah.
But I will have to point to one of the biggest changes that we've done to prove that it can, and that's look at how many people now don't smoke.
How does that work?
We've had a huge campaign of we'll call it brainwashing human beings, and something that they've been doing for a million years, only in the United States has the smoking gone down. In other countries, people still smoke as much as chimney, just like they used to always smoke. But in the United States, the smoking has been educated, I guess I'll say, out of us. And we've made a huge difference. So we can change people's attitudes. It just takes some time and some money.
Well, I think what Crazy Man was alluding to is that a lot of these people, because of the recession, like doctors, lawyers, or whatever, that have been cut back, laid off, or even people with master's degrees or a master's degree, and they're trying to find a job, a lot of them have turned to truck driving because they can go down to, like, well, like the local truck driving school name in Creswell, you know, pay $5,000 and get some of these entry-level companies to look at them just so they can have a job. And they figure that, okay, well, like same thing in my case, I'm a technician, you know. Then they figure that as soon as the economy gets back on its feet again, that we'll go back to our old job criteria. But as Crazy Man says, as when they look at your resume and they see truck driver, they don't look any further. You know, and like in my particular case, I'm an electronics technician. I've repaired robots, and I've got an associate's of science degree in computer networking. I drive a truck.
Right.
But looking at Crazy Man?
Yep. That's pretty much it. I've got no degrees. I could do electronics on car stereos. Nobody wants me no more because they see truck driver. I've now built $50,000 and $70,000 car stereos, things that just are outrageous. But now that I'm a truck driver, these guys won't touch me.
Exactly.
I can't do this.
Go ahead.
Go ahead.
I was gonna say, and as a truck driver, you know, like with other jobs, like in Oregon, you know, where we have Oregon's a right to work state. Being a truck driver, you're disposable.
Yeah.
Exactly. Because you got, well, in fact, the company that I worked for, long haul, the recruiter told me that within 66 months, they have a 65% turnover. And that's okay with them.
Yeah. They don't care. They don't care. All they're looking, like I said, they're looking for a hot seat with a CDL to hold that steering wheel to go from point A to point B, and they don't care how it gets there. That's why we only make X amount of money per mile. I've been with the same company for 4 years now. I make 39 cents a mile. If that truck stopped at a shipper for 5 hours, guess what I make? Take a guess.
Zero.
Zero.
Yeah.
Zero pennies. But a new hire comes in, okay, fresh out of school. He's making 42 cents a mile. And I've been at the same company for 4 years. They'll hire them for more.
Why would they do that?
Some guys they hire for less.
Yeah.
It's all in their education, where they come from.
And on top of that, again, alluding to the same company, I can't remember the exact figures, but I think it was $50 a day during training.
Mm-hmm.
And you're spending, well, like I say, hours of service, so you're on duty at least 14 hours, and you're making $50 a day for training. That doesn't even work out on the wage and hour laws for minimum wage.
No, no. Hours and wages don't even apply to us. We're just our own little identity.
Is there a truckers union, a specific truckers union?
Nope, there's nothing. Nothing for us.
Well, there's
McDonald's,
okay, but
make more money than we do.
The biggest problem is that a lot of people that make the rules have never sat in a truck before, much less gone on the road.
Well, it sounds to me like the truckers need to get together and form a union and find, you know, there's something to do about this, because that's the only way that that's going to change. I mean, it's at this particular point, I think there's been a huge mistake made. The truckers were getting screwed by the companies, and then who comes in to help out but the government, which is even worse than being screwed by the companies.
Well, here's the problem. They've tried doing unions before, like the ATA. But here's the thing, that if truckers try to unite and form a union, the union is powerless unless you stick together. And if you think about striking, that's illegal.
Mm-hmm. That is
well, that should be changed. It used to be illegal for teachers to strike, but now they do it all the time. So, that's something that can be worked on. You need to work on your senator and your representatives and people like that, because that can be changed. I mean, how long has it been? It's been a long time ago that the laws were changed to allow teachers to strike, and that, in my opinion, is even a worse situation. So it shouldn't, it should be possible to get the rules changed or the laws changed for truckers.
Well, see, if we try to, let's say, boycott, strike, whatever you want to call it, slow down, you know what they'll do? They don't care. They get rid of us and hire some young kid that can do the job that has never done it for cheaper.
Yeah.
So they'll just starve us out.
There aren't any federal laws about
what
you need to know to be able to be a truck driver? I mean, don't you have to be able to, you have to go to school, right?
Not necessarily.
No. Cliff, you can go down to DMV, grab the little book up, spend about 3 days, study it, pass the course. It's basically like a written test for your driver's license for a car. Then all you got to do is to get your CDL. The rest of the way is go down to, we'll say, whatever trucking company that, like Penske, you can rent a truck for the day. Now I've got a Class A CDL.
Wow.
You're good to go. Yeah.
Yeah, you just got to go through, and they'll quiz you on the 69 or so steps on the pre-trip, which I don't think anybody follows. And depending on what state it is in, Oregon requires you to back up straight, back up offset, then drive around the block. And if you bring the instructor back in one piece, you passed your test.
You just dug into the bottom of the cracker jacks and got your CDL.
Wow, I'm telling you. There are some occupations that I think need to be a little bit more strict than that. I mean, this is something where you're driving this gigantic piece of tin down the road that can kill people, and we need to have people that are at least qualified to do that. Plus, we have to need to have people that are awake doing that.
Yes, but here's the thing: we've got jobs to do, and some of us know . And I've got to the point that I only know one thing in life now. And I've got a lot of knowledge, a lot of street smarts, where a lot of people with book smarts, I'll eat them alive when it comes out here in the real world. But if I was sitting in a classroom, they'll eat me alive. Take me down to Oakland. Take two people, me and somebody else from college. Guess who's going to walk out of that part of Oakland alive?
Yeah, I've been there. Used to live in San Leandro.
Okay, I will walk out alive, and that guy from college will be sitting there going, I'm broke and I'm dead.
Yep, I know what you're saying. I know what you're saying.
And speaking of dead,
I understand that we need these rules, but we need to loosen up on some of these stupid-ass rules.
Well, it sounds like they're making
jackasses in these big companies don't have a clue. The managers, the logistics people, there's so many people involved in this. Hell, the person that I've got knows what a truck looks like, never been in one, never. Doesn't know that we live in a basically 25-foot square box from hell.
Yeah. I need to ask another question.
I'd like to put in a shameless plug. If anybody is listening, would like to chime in and ask Crazy Man some questions or bring up their own experience, give us a call, 646-721-9887. You can join us in the chat room. And we do have the email up as well, so if you have any questions, like to send us there, we'll read your emails over the air. Also, I'd like to do a quick shameless plug for our Saturday show, Oregon Update, which is live every Saturday morning, 10 a.m. Pacific time. And okay, Crazy Man, back to you.
Oh, I lost train of thought.
Well, I was going to break in here, and I have a question, because one of the things that really, really, really upsets me about trucks, and I don't know if this is something anybody can answer or not, but driving in a car behind or beside a truck in the rain. Now, I've driven beside a couple of trucks that you can go by them, and it's no big thing, and there's a little bit of water that comes out, yes. But I've been beside other trucks where you drive by them, and there's so much water that comes out the side of that truck that my windshield wipers cannot keep up with it. I am literally blind the entire time that truck is passing me, or I'm passing him, or whatever. And if I go slow, the trucks pass me. If I go fast, then I'm passing the trucks. You can't drive beside or behind a truck. Isn't there some way that there can be a ruling that all trucks have to be controlled as to how much waste water they eliminate, or whatever you want to call it?
No, there's nothing you can do about that. What the problem you're seeing, Cliff, is the divots or ruts in the roads. So what is happening is basically the ruts where the vehicles between the cars and the truck have gone over the years. It's made this little river where all the water pools up. And it's not a wastewater. It's water that's just running down the road from wherever.
So I know it's not waste water, but I remember the other day I drove by a truck and I didn't get hurt at all. So I must have been on a newer part of the road or something that didn't have that water on there.
Yeah, all it takes is a little 3/8 or a quarter inch little divot in there from the cars and the trucks that have worn the blacktop down, is made a gully, and now you've got, let's say, a half inch of rain spread into this little gully for a half mile, and of course now you've got 18 wheels kicking up that water.
Right, right.
You know,
there's got to be some way to fix that. There's got to be some way to keep that water from screaming out and covering up your car.
Yeah, do you think the super singles bring up less water than duals?
I think they kick up about the same. Because I have had trucks with super singles and I've had trucks with duals, and they seem to kick up about the same amount.
Okay.
You know.
Well, I guess I'm back to putting the stuff on trains. Sorry.
Some of my have changed the direction here. I get back to it a little bit. Is Crazy Man, there's a story that you were telling me earlier this week that I thought was pretty interesting. I don't know if you want to share it or not, but that's when you ran out of fuel?
Yeah. The fuel prices have got so high that our company is basically short fueling us. So what happened is I filled up in our company yard, okay, took off, went to L.A. From L.A. I went to Phoenix. From Phoenix, I went to Denver. From Denver, I went to Layton. From Layton, they go, oh, by the way, you don't need fuel, okay? I ended up running out of fuel in Biggs, Oregon, almost 3,200 miles for the week.
Yeah.
And me and my manager went around, because the fact is we can't afford the fuel because nobody's buying anything. They want to put them on trains, which costs even more.
Yeah, and tell them how far away from the pump you are.
I was approximately 500 feet away from the pump, and now the company's telling me that, oh, by the way, since we've got to send out a service truck, it's going to cost $800, and that's going to come out of your paycheck because you didn't do your job for 25 gallons.
Wouldn't it have been smarter for you to just stop and put gas in it?
Yeah, it would have, but the company said, no, don't do it.
Well, but if what they don't know can't hurt them.
Yeah, but that 25, 50 gallons would come out of my pocket, and 50 gallons right now is approximately $175.
And sounds like $175 is cheaper than $800, though.
Well, here's the thing, is that there's this little device in the truck that I nicknamed Quali as a tattletale. Is that if all of a sudden, if it's reading and reporting back that it's empty, and all of a sudden there's these 50 gallons that come out of nowhere. know, they're not going to reimburse you for it. We went through that.
The company's not going to reimburse you for it. They're going to screw you.
Well,
just like somebody that I know.
Go ahead, crazy.
Well, I was just going to say I'm one of these kind of people that I would just tell them, come and get your truck, and I'd leave.
That's something you cannot do because of the thing called a DAT report.
Oh, yes, you can. You can do it.
No, you can't. You'll be blackballed from truck driving.
That's fine.
You'll never get another driving job again.
If it's going to work that way and you can't make any money, let them blackball me. Let them put me in jail. I don't have to pay for food then.
Yeah, but then you wind up with the thing that we talked about earlier. Now that you have truck driving on your resume, even though you used to be a brain surgeon, you'll never be a brain surgeon again, and now you just blackballed yourself on the DAT report. I don't know what you're going to do.
You're going to go on unemployment. You're going to go on welfare and not have to work at all. So there it is. You know, I mean, the government's got to change this or the government's going to end up supporting you.
Well,
you know what? If you quit or get fired from these companies as a truck driver, they just tell you, guess what? Oh, you want unemployment? Fuck you. You don't get shit. You don't get shit. Because
then,
they find some screwed up way to take your unemployment away from you every time.
Well, but
they don't care.
Yeah. Then, like I say, you know, government is the one, it sounds to me like that's doing a real good job of screwing this up. So go on welfare and let the government support you. It's probably cheaper than what they're doing now anyway.
Because you're an able person that can work. If you can't get welfare, you can't get unemployment, you can work. So they'll work. You have to work.
Right.
Well,
they don't.
My answer to that, unfortunately, is horrible because it involves a brick.
Well, the thing is, my opinion is that let's bring the trucking industry in, like labor laws and OSHA laws, along with the rest of the world.
But how do you do that?
Yeah. That's called the FMC. That's what they're trying to do.
Right.
They're trying to bring everything up to date. We're still making wages from the 70s.
Yeah,
but we have more rules to go around.
Let me bring up a quick issue. Then I want to touch on Jason's law in the last 22 minutes of the show here. One of the issues that I had is when I was over the road, in the 11 hours that you're allowed to drive, I usually reserve the last hour to try and find a place to land. And still get my miles in, by the way. But the thing is, anything can happen in that last hour. Like, for example, there could be an accident that will delay you or traffic jams, or you could get yourself into a situation that's whatever's going to happen is going to delay you. Next thing you know, you're out of hours. Legally, if I'm not mistaken, once that 11-hour clock hit, that truck has to be parked.
Or a 14-hour rule, whichever comes first.
Right.
Yeah.
Because you can run out of your 14 without running out of your 11, depending, of course, you know, how long you're sitting at a loading dock or whatever. But it's a big fine for running that truck. Now, I've had to do it. I've had to break the law because I ran out of hours and I would have been forced to park on the side of the road, no bathroom, not a safe place, probably not even a legal place to park, with a truck stop about 15 minutes away.
Yeah. Yes. It is total craziness.
So I'm running like a bat trying to beat the hours, which of course means that I may be pushing the speed limit a little bit, or I may be, you know, I didn't have electronic logs, which a lot of the trucking companies are going to, so I could kind of, just kind of screw it just a little bit. But with the new electronic logs, there is no, as soon as the bell rings, you're done.
Yep. There's no more wiggle room. That was called the Creative Riding 101. There were times that, we'll say, like this time I was delivering down in San Bernardino at one of the major grocery lots out there. I spent 9 hours in the door when they offloaded me. 9. my 14 hours was up. 14 hours I was up at that point in time. Do you know what I had to do?
What's that?
I had to drive 2 hours down the road to find a safe haven after I was offloaded.
And
the 14 and 11 out of the water.
Some companies, if you run out of time, that you know, where legally you can't move the truck, so you got to sit there in the shipper or receiver's lot, and they won't let you.
Nope. So no, are there no appeals courts or anything to these legal things?
Nope, nothing, nothing. The truck driver is basically scum of the earth, and nobody cares. Oh, they say they care, but they don't. You know, they, well, we'll do this, we'll do that. Well, guess what? This stuff is not working because you sat behind a desk crunching numbers all day long on how long that truck can move, how long it's got to be parked. Why don't we try this? Why don't we try that? None of it's going to work until you get out from behind your computer and get up out of that desk and get in the truck and see what really goes on behind the wheel. Shippers and receivers don't care.
Yeah, and the tragic thing that happened, I'd like to read this little excerpt here. On Thursday, March 5th, 2009, Jason Rosenberg pulled his truck into a gas station that has been used frequently and considered to be somewhat safe. Jason was only 12 miles away from his destination but could not make the delivery because it was too early. His delivery never took place. Jason was shot and killed as he rested in his truck. This is what the petitions are legislators are being, this is called Jason's Law, basically, where they're trying, the whole point of it is try and make more adequate and safe places for drivers to go, and also to have a little bit of flexibility in the 14-hour rule so that if you are 15 minutes away from a safe haven, that you can get to it without, you know, this happening again to somebody else.
Yeah, but here's the thing. We'll just throw electronic logs. Now you can't even fudge that little 15 minutes to be safe. We're going to lose more drivers because of this electronic logs. Okay, yeah, it's lying. Oh, well. But 15 minutes down the road, if I can be safe in that 15 minutes to get to safe haven, I'm going to do it. I don't care who's in my way. I don't care what DOT says. Because you're not going to be coming to my funeral. Are you going to care that I died tomorrow trying to deliver your food on time, your groceries, your pants, your coats, your shirts? The world's going to go on without a person. They don't care. Nobody knows that the truck drivers are what keep America moving. If every truck driver in this world stopped for 24 hours, do you know how far the truck driving companies or the business would set this world on its ass? Do you, Cliff?
Well, I have to be nasty because I don't think in 24 hours it would hurt too much. I can't
believe it.
24 hours, up though.
What?
24 hours would set the world on its ass for 6 months. That's how far behind food would get. Food flows everything. It would set us back that far for 24 hours.
Well, see, we've got some major problems in this country that are all linked together, but mostly it is this would link back to being to buying things on time and interest, because everybody wants to wait until the last minute. Everybody orders things at the last minute and doesn't stock anything. And our whole government is doing this with money. We don't stock money. We have no savings. Nobody is prepared for any kind of savings. So this is one of the things that's actually going to have to change in our country. And sooner or later, it's going to happen.
Nah, I doubt it. I think when time ends, it'll keep going. Next truck driver comes along, it'll keep on going forever until somebody actually stands up and does something. But here's the problem. You can get 20 truck drivers in a group. They'll sit there and say, yeah, we'll do this, we'll do that. But when it comes down to the bottom line, do you know what will happen?
Nothing.
Those 20 truck drivers will go, yep, I'll stop for this amount of time. Nothing will happen because guess what? I've got bills. I got to pay the bills.
Yeah.
It's not going to happen.
Yeah, that's the biggest problem with a lot of our things. Our federal government is out of control, and it's only because we sit back and, like you say, I call it fat and happy, but it's just exactly that. You know, I've got to make my money and I've got to do my job. I can't take time to go out and campaign or you know, soapbox. Get on my soapbox and talk, or I don't have time to do that, and none of us do.
That's right. Most people don't. In fact, I've had a variety of jobs in the past, and like I said in the onset, obviously, you know, drove in the oil fields, tractor trailer, three axle, for a year. But when 6 o'clock rolled along, or somewhere in there, I parked the truck for the night and went home. But it wasn't, I had no idea until I actually went on the road, even with my short period of time being over the road, of what type of life it is, because it's totally different than anything. In fact, one other issue I just wanted to bring up is just that, again, back with OSHA, most places, any type of business requires a bathroom. Well,
what's that?
Well, it's a bathroom, right. And a lot of places like truck stops or rest areas, like rest areas, I think was in Virginia and some other places, they're closing down rest areas because of lack of money. And then
go to Arizona.
Yeah. Go to Arizona.
Yeah.
There's places, well, even just going shopping with a truck, like Walmart, for example. Walmart doesn't want your trucks in there, even though if you go in and buy $200-$300 worth of merchandise, you'll come back out. There's the security guard telling you to move your truck.
Yep. Every Thursday or Friday, depending on where I'm at. I don't do it no more because they don't want us there. But I'll pull in, let's say, Friday night. I will walk into Walmart and I will spend a guaranteed $150, and that's just in groceries for the week. That's not buying my CDs, my music, my videos when I have time, my games. I can average $250 a week. Oh, wait a minute. That's my whole paycheck.
Exactly. And like they say is that, you know, trucks are trucks and transportation, including the trains, the intermodal system, is the heartbeat of America. Without that, nothing moves. But the truck driver in particular, trucking business is the most overregulated business. It's also it's very hard on the individual. People spend, crazy man, you're about, 3 weeks out and three off?
The way things have been working for the last 2 months now is I'm out for 7 days, come home for two. Well, the only reason I'm getting three off this week is because my truck is broke because, oh, by the way, they decided to ship my truck to where it was put together at in Portland. So it's getting a new clutch for some ungod reason and a new bunk gear. So I have heat. Oh, wait a minute, summer's coming. Don't want me to start on that one.
Oh, yeah, that was the whole point I was going to bring up when you were talking about your bunk heater and fuel. With the winter storms, and every truck that I've driven, I'd say 50% of them actually had a fuel gauge that worked. The rest of them, you could fill the tanks, and it still showed 3/4 of a tank. So I've never ran into one that had an accurate gauge to begin with. But if you're up there in the hills, which I believe you had to go through some snow, if I remember right, or at least close to it, and you ran out of fuel. Well, the bunk heaters, for people that don't know, they run off diesel.
Yep. So, there's my heat. I have none.
Right.
just shove a hockey stick up my butt, you've got a big popsicle.
So, okay, the thing is, has this industry been this bad all the time?
Yes, this industry has been like this since, the birth of it.
I can't believe, how many truck drivers are there? I can't believe truck drivers haven't gotten upset and done something about this. I mean, there's got to be enough people getting uptight that there's got to be something said. How long has the federal government been starting playing your game? What is this FMC you're talking about?
The FMC started about 10 years ago.
And what is it?
Getting into it, to my knowledge. Federal Motor Vehicle, some crap.
Federal Motor Carrier Safety Administration.
There you go.
I cheated.
And so they're the ones that are creating all this 1114 stuff that's giving you the hassles?
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I will give them credit that they are holding these, what they call listening sessions, which they've had five of them now, which the public was invited to testify in. And you can see a rebroadcast of those at the FMCSA website, and just to look for listening hours of service, listening sessions. And it's quite interesting, some of the stories that people have. And in fact, in the 8 minutes of the show remaining, 646-721-9887, if anybody wants to join in.
Slower.
686-721-9887. Anyways.
I didn't say lower. I said slow.
Hey, I'm going to be rude. I got to be very, very rude.
Okay.
Hello.
Hello.
My battery is getting ready to die.
Okay.
Right. It's been good talking to you.
Nice talking to you, Cliff, too. And you guys need to stir the shit up in the world up for us. That's all there is to it.
That's true. That's true.
And we appreciate you, Crazy Men, coming on the show and sharing your experiences with us. And although we don't have anybody in the chat room at the moment, the archives will be listened to. And again, anybody has a comment, send us a talk at krbnradio.com. And Crazy Man, we'd like to have you back on the show again sometime.
Yes.
And I think
obviously he died.
He's died. That was my bye-bye. But no,
The only thing I wanted to bring up is, with the advent of the Internet, things have been changing in the world. And now with the advent of the Internet, it seems to me like there should be a way to put something together that can alert the federal government as to what's going on. Because, even if you're doing these horrendous, ridiculous hours, I'm sure every truck driver could find a minute to sit down and send an email or fill out a forum, go on a forum and talk about this and let people know what's happening. And if there's enough people doing this and being upset, I'm sure something will happen. I mean, the Internet is changing a lot of things in a lot of ways.
Well, think of it this way, Cliff. Think of it as, let's put it this way. You ever gone camping on the coast?
Yes.
Okay. Think of truck driving as being a permanent camper. Some of the truck stops do have Internet access, assuming, of course, that you actually have a computer to get on. Some of the truck stops also have a computer. You can, it's like a video game type computer. It's a standee or whatever. It's a permanent. But chances are, you're only going to be on there for a few minutes to check your email or do something with the kids. But from my own experience, when I first started going over the road, I figured, this is great. Okay, I'll drive 11 hours. I'm going to have a 10-hour break and catch up on some reading. No. After the second week, I was so tired that as soon as I spent that hour over my 11 hours, just kept on my own time, the 10-hour break, just catching up my logs and planning the next day. I was out.
But sending an email, it doesn't take a lot of time to just, you know, you can be composing all as long as you want to, but actually typing it in and sending it is just a very short period of time. I can't believe nobody can, you know, and almost everybody now has cell phones, and you know, texting on cell phones is a big thing. It's just the entire instantaneous information world has changed so much that an awful lot of things are switching and changing, and you know, we're getting you know, our president even listens to or pays attention to tweets and Twitter and blogs, and you know, this is the kind of thing that can allow a group of people like truckers to get together as a group without actually having to get together as a group, if you understand what I'm saying. Okay. They can make their needs and wants known without literally having to give up their work time, without having to give up their paycheck. And but you've got to be willing to put, I mean, you know, you can't just go out there and anonymously, you know, yell and scream and holler. You're going to have to put something behind it, like your name, and let people know who you are. I mean, there's got to be a way that this can be done so that people can be counted.
Well, one thing that'll definitely get their attention, in fact, I got in trouble on my first week solo, is I followed the law. When it said that, like, for example, when the truck was in the shop, while I still had anything to do with that truck or the job, technically that's line four, on duty, not driving, and that counts against your 14. If everybody followed the rule to the letter, it would definitely cause these companies to stand up and talk, or stand up at least take notice. Real quick, in the final 3 minutes, you got any closing thoughts on this?
Wow.
We'll go ahead and plug the tomorrow's show.
Let's go ahead and plug tomorrow's show. I'm just flabbergasted at this whole thing.
Well, and that's one of the reasons why, just briefly, why I have a program called Trucker Talk, or why we do, is to bring this to the attention of people, because, like Crazy Man says, basically all you see is the trucks going up and down the freeway. You don't really relate to, because it doesn't mean anything to you what the driver goes through to get your merchandise from point A to point B.
Well, it's beginning to mean more and more when I see all of these, what I consider infractions on the road. Now I'm understanding why.
Right.
Doesn't make me any happier about them, but I'm understanding why.
Anyways, tomorrow, as with every Saturday at 10 o'clock Pacific time, we have a show called Oregon Update, where Cliff and I will discuss what's in the news the week or anything else.
And you're not allowed to go to sleep because you're still on duty until 10 o'clock tomorrow morning.
That's right. And you're required to call in. But
yes.
if you have any suggestions for a show topic or anything you'd like to talk about, or just say hi, you know, you can call us on our listener line at 646-721-9887. Send us an email. We'd love to hear from you at talk@krbnradio.com. And give us your feedback.
And we're willing to talk about absolutely anything, by the way. Doesn't have to be any specifically any. I've been getting more and more.
Now I think I lost Cliff. Okay, well, I'm still here. And
the big H.
There you are. It's back. Okay.
We've got the big H there to talk about healthcare.
That's right. And well, just some other things going on in the news. Tune in tomorrow and find out. And we'd love to have you there. Remember, 10 o'clock tomorrow, Saturday and every Saturday, 10 a.m. Pacific time.
We'll see you then.
We'll see you then. And again, Cliff, we appreciate it. And a special thanks out to Crazy Man for sharing his expertise. And until tomorrow.
Bye.
Bye.
Be sure. sure to check us out on the internet at www.krbnradio.com or email us with your show ideas at talk@krbnradio.com. This is KRBN Internet News Talk Radio.